Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It's my pleasure to look at some of life challenges with you and then bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to find out about us, you can look us up on the internet or re-listen to this program by visiting us on goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning I'm going to focus on three short verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says this, verse 16, "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." This morning, I simply want to ask the question, what does it mean to be joyful always, and what does it mean to pray continually? That sounds a little unrealistic, doesn't it? This morning, that is what I want to look at. But before we get there, let's start off with some music. We're going to listen to Holy Lord by Steve Bell. Thessalonians 5:16. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. I got to tell you that my initial reaction when I read stuff like this is, yeah, right. Be joyful always? I don't always feel joyful. I don't always feel joy in the middle of a fight with my wife. I don't always feel joyful when I feel stress on finances. I don't always feel joyful when I'm sitting with somebody in deep pain. And as to never stop praying, well, let me say, I'm not a multitasker. Like, I am here talking with you and is saying I should be praying. Well, there's times when I talk and I pray, it's usually, God, this is coming out wrong, help. But that is about as long a prayer as I can sustain. And it says, never stop praying. And I can distract myself. And so I pray continually. I'm thinking, yeah, right. And then it goes on to say, give thanks in all circumstances. This is a little easier than if it said, give thanks for all circumstances. But even still, I don't know about you, but there are days when I just don't feel thankful. How about you? Have you ever read stuff like this from Scripture, thrown your hands up and said, this is impossible? I suspect many of you have. And it is our response to passages like these where Satan can create a wedge issue between God and us. And it has a way of eating at our faith. So let me show you how Satan creates this wedge issue. The first thing he does is he undermines the authority of Scripture. He'll come along and say, well, this isn't really God's word to us, is it? This is Paul's word. And as we know, Paul was a little chauvinistic and a little radical, so we really don't need to take that seriously. It's just kind of a repackaging of what Satan told Eve. Did God really say? But here's what I found. I have found God's word to be very powerful in my life. It calls into question the paradigms that I look at life with. It has unleashed the power of God in my life. I found the promises of God to be true. And I found that God speaks through his word. And if Satan can get to you or me to buy into the argument, did God really say, it kind of declaws the word of God. It no longer has the ability to question my assumptions. It no longer has the transformational power of God behind it. Our lack of faith can cripple the effects of the word of God on our lives. Our lack of faith can mute what God wants to say to us. So going a direction that says, this isn't really the word of God, isn't an option for me. Not only is it arrogant of me to dismiss what God's people have found through the years to be true and to be good, but I miss out on what God wants to do with me and in me. So I come to verses like these, and I know this is God's word, so my next response is, I'm going to put this into practice through the sheer force of my will. I'm going to be joyful if it kills me. And if I can figure out a way to make it happen, I'm going to fake it until I make it. So when you run into me and ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to say, I am so joyful today, I can hardly stand it. Which is good if it's true. But if it's not, being like that just kills you. Read a book last year about this guy who read this verse to pray continually, and so he took it literally. And he made it a point always to direct his thoughts towards God when he was not otherwise engaged in something else. He said that after about a year's worth of practice, he got pretty good at it, and he testified to it making an incredible difference in his life. Which brings me to my next way of dealing with it. I look at verses like these, and I read this guy's testimony, and, well, I get depressed. Paul must be talking about some super saint or someone else. I'm just a failure in my Christian life. I don't have the kind of willpower to do what he has talked about. I guess I'll just have to resolve myself to be a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a common camping spot along the spiritual journey. But it doesn't help you on your spiritual journey. Then what I think is, well, maybe if I knew Greek, because, well, maybe if it says pray continually or be joyful always, maybe the Greek word says pray when you think of it and be joyful when you can. Let me save you some time. You learn Greek, it doesn't help. They did a good job of translating it. Then we start to think that, well, maybe we got the definitions wrong. And there's actually a pretty good chance of that. If you have been around the Bible a little, you know that happiness and joy are not the same thing. And there's a little saying that you may have heard, happiness depends on circumstances, but joy depends on Jesus. And that's true enough. But the way I've seen it work is, oh, I don't need to be happy. But then joy becomes meaningless. We hide behind a little knowledge that happiness and joy are different, but we don't figure out how joy affects us to live our life in this world. When we do things like this in our Christian lives, we become powerless. When the Bible talks about joy, it is talking about a deep sense of well-being. Always be joyful, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. We have such ways of avoiding the Word of God, and it kills us. How do you approach verses like this? And how does it work out in your life? It matters because all these approaches that I've talked about end up saying that the Word of God is not true for me. This morning, let me give you a different way to come at this. I've been referring to the Bible as the Word of God because that is what it is. But usually we interpret someone's word through the person themselves. You know, if you like Stephen Harper, then you will interpret what he says one way. If you don't like Stephen Harper, then you'll interpret what he said, his words, another way. But sometimes when we come to the Bible, we forget about the one who said them. Let me tell you about the God behind the words. The God that I've come to know through Scripture and through His Spirit is good. Like, I mean, really good. His love is amazing because He continues to love and love and love when He is rejected or ignored. He doesn't treat us as we deserve. He treats us out of who He is, not out of what we have done. The God that I've come to know is so big and so grand in both size and power and intelligence that He can know me personally and all about my life, and He can know you personally, and He can know all about your life, and He can know the 7 billion people that we share the planet with personally. He cares about each and every one of us as if we were the only person He had a relationship with. The God that I've come to know wants the very, very, very best for us. But He is really reluctant to enforce His agenda on us. He's a gentleman who invites us and who calls us, who even woos us, but He does not force Himself upon us. You know what makes God angry? Is vandals. Vandals of His creation. He knows that we are created for good, for love, for joy, for beauty, for adventure, for hope, for grace, for community, for strength. And yet this world has been vandalized by sin and evil and hatred, and it is so much less than what it was created for. And I've seen how God deeply loves us, and yet He hates those things that vandalize our lives and others. God wants us to be fully alive, and He hates it when we poison ourselves. So people read the Bible, and they see, all they can see is the wrath of God. But I will tell you what the wrath of God looks like in the New Testament. It is that God leaves us alone to our own devices, to drown in our own sin. God says, if you want to vandalize yourself, I am going to get out of the way and let you do it. It's a fearsome thing to have the God of the universe leave us to our own devices. God is not sitting in heaven, though, looking for a way to get ticked off with you. God is looking for a way to have a relationship with you. God is looking for a way to walk with you. He really, really, really wants the best for you. He is on your side, hoping that you will learn what it means to live in a way that you were intended to be. He is hoping that you will learn to live in grace and with beauty and with love and with hope. He is hoping and encouraging you to be full of life. If you can see God's heart, then you can come to these verses and say, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. What do you hear? If God is really on your side, then He is saying this to you. He's not trying to get you to write off His word, nor is He trying to depress you as something that is impossible or only for super saints. No, He is not trying to discourage you. He is trying to invite you into a life that you were really meant to live. Imagine a life where prayer came as easy as breathing, where beauty and strength and grace were just normal responses to everyday life for you. Imagine a life where a deep sense of well-being, even when life was hard, was possible. Imagine where you were in conflict or stress or in plenty or in lack, and you had this deep sense of joy, this deep sense of well-being. Well, that's what God wants for you when He writes, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. This is what He envisions for you. Let's listen to some music, and then we'll come back and ask the question, well, how do we live this kind of life? I'm going to listen to Michael W. Smith saying, "There is none like you."
No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do.
The question is, how do I live that kind of life? How do you do this? You're not going to get there by sheer willpower. You're not going to be joyful or pray always because you grit your teeth and you try hard. The first thing you need to note is that these are verses that are written to people who follow Jesus. You see, the definition of a Christian is one in whom Christ dwells. A Christ follower is someone who has trusted the work of Christ on the cross for forgiveness of their sins and has invited Jesus into their life. Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, actually comes into your life, and he lives in you, and you live in him. When you become a Christian, the Spirit of God enters into the core of who you are, enters into your spirit. Now, let me ask you the question. Is God full of joy? The answer, of course, is yes. We think of heaven as being the most joyful place possible, and that is true because God is there. Now, the one who is the author of life, the one who is full of joy, comes to live in the core of who you are. So when the Word of God says, always be joyful or always rejoice, it is saying, be what you are at the core. The question you have to answer is not, how do I get joy? But how can I be joyful always? The real question is, how do I uncover the joy that is right at my core? The joy at your core does not fade even if you've had a bad day. Or you get bad news. Or you get stressed out. But I'll tell you this, these kind of things have a way of covering up the joy that is there. So the challenge when those things happen is to get beyond your bad day. To get underneath your inner turmoil, to connect with God who has come into you. You see, in Christ there is a deep sense of well-being. He wants to share that deep sense of well-being with you. He wants to fill you with who you are, with who he is. There are things that you can do to cover up the joy, and there are things that you can do to uncover the joy. Your job in life is to make choices that uncover the joy. Make choices that bring the Spirit of God to the surface of your life. See, when you bless people, or you choose to worship, when you choose to connect yourself with your heart, joy comes to the forefront. When Jesus is central in your life, joy has a way of coming to the surface. When your life becomes all about you, when you choose to live out of your sinful nature rather than the nature that God has placed in you, when you choose to indulge your flesh rather than going towards what God wants you to do, it has a way of covering the joy. You see, because sin becomes a poison to us. Sin has a way of covering up all that God wants us to do. Now, if God, by his Holy Spirit, lives in the core of who you are, what does it mean to pray continually? Well, in reality, it's what you do with your body is prayer. And if you let it be so. What you do at your work is prayer, if you let it be. What you do with your free time is prayer, if you let it be. This past summer, I went to visit a monastery in Quebec. And they had what they called the hours. And the monks would get up at 4 a.m. and then they would pray. And then before breakfast, they would pray. And then they would pray at lunchtime. And then they'd pray in late afternoon. Then they'd pray at supper time. And then they would pray compline in the evening, and then they would go to bed fairly early. And they had this rhythm of prayer. Well, of course, most of us are not monks, so we don't get a chance to do the hours of prayer. We don't live in a monastery. But think of the rhythm of your life. Think of the rhythm of prayer in your life. You see, you get up in the morning and you pray and you say, Lord, let what I do be a prayer to you. Then you have breakfast, and before breakfast you bow and you say grace. Grace is not just a way of blessing the food or being thankful for the food. It remembers that who we are is in Christ. And so we pray and we say, Lord, what I'm doing is a prayer. And then you have lunch, and it's a prayer. Then you have supper, and it's a prayer. And you take time before bed, and it's a prayer. And essentially, you are doing the hours through a way of praying. And each time you pray, and each time you remember who God is, and you remember what God has done for you, then you remember that your life is a prayer. You create a rhythm of prayer in your life. The traditional rhythm of prayer becomes our rhythm of prayer. And my prayer for you is that as you discover a rhythm in life, as you learn to pray systematically, periodically throughout your day, as you learn to live in ways that uncover the joy rather than cover up the joy, that these verses will be naturally true of you. The verse that says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. That is the life that God envisions for you. That is the life that comes out of who He is. With that, let us pray. Lord, my prayer for our listeners is that they would indeed be able to uncover the joy that you have put in them. For, Lord, when they invite you into their heart, you are there and you are full of joy. My prayer is they would learn to live their lives as prayer. So whether they work or whether they pray, they would be praying. And Lord, my prayer is that you would help us all to be thankful. Thank you so much, Lord, for who you are and for what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listeners, thank you so much for your words of encouragement and for keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith, and we appreciate when you can help with that. You can give in a number of ways. You can go on to the website at Good News Christian Ministries, and you can give online, or you could make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries. Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ottawa, Ontario, KOG 1WO, and send a check there. That would go to support this program. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a pleasure to spend time with you this morning. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love. Let's go out by listening to Keith Green, who says, "Because of you." Because of you,
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.